Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, internet? It is Monday, February 5th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My notes say January something, and that's not right. So I had to pull the real date from the ether. You're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 132. I am your world Super Bowl champion, Austin Nick
champion
Foles
himself.
Walker. Austin.
Big Dick Nick.
That's what they say.
Big
that's
Dick
what they say
Nick.
In Philly. They've been chanting.
They
did you miss that? Patrick is shaking his head back and forth.
Did you
which Nick has the big dick?
Wait, Foles. Did you miss
Nick
Big
Foles.
Dick Nick?
Oh.
There was an interview.
There were people literally chanting through the streets of Philly, screaming Big Dick Nick.
Welcome to Philadelphia, everybody. Yeah. Your world Super Bowl
is that
champions.
Accurate? I need to know.
There was an interview. There was an interview, not with him, with another player.
Okay.
It was an AMA. It was not an interview. It was an AMA on Reddit.
Oh, okay.
And someone was like, who's got the biggest dick? Because, internet.
Said Nick.
And one of the players was like, duh. Like, what? I thought you were on the internet. I thought you knew already. Which is, like, the best way to frame that answer. And also because Nick Foles is just, like, a very sweet dad.
Yeah.
That's his whole character. It's like, I'm a backup quarterback player. I love my kid.
I love how, like,
this is not his voice also.
I was going to ask, is that also accurate?
No, but he has, like, a heartfelt Middle America vibe.
Okay. I don't want to go too far off, but I love how, like, the Eagles, there's all this, like, great stuff going on. And Big Dick Nick, congratulations. And on the other side of that is, like, HQ getting invested in by some awful dude in Scott Rogowski, like saying he has a small dick.
Yeah, this is
fun. Is that how it always turns out? Is there a correlation here?
I don't think so. I think this is how eugenics starts.
Yeah, right.
I broke Danica. Danica's gone.
Jesus.
I'm just
asking the questions.
Super
here,
briefly,
all.
I'm just. Oh, joining me today. Let's start at the top. Danica, Herod, Danielle, Riendo.
Wow.
I did it right. Patrick Klepek. Live from Chicago via video. Hi.
Did you know Kanye and Kim's new baby's name is Chicago?
Is it really?
Is it?
Yeah, if you didn't watch
this.
Kylie's pregnancy video.
Oh, wow.
You
Man.
Should. Because
Thank
it
you.
Made me cry.
Did it?
Oh. Yeah. I've as a person who has never wanted kids, I'm ready.
You're ready to go.
Oh, wow.
What would your kid's name be? Would it be a different city?
Probably a city.
Petaluma.
Petaluma!
Petaluma Herod.
Rohnert Park, Herod. Some town near my hometown.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. I just want to shout out to Philadelphia Eagles. If you listened to this podcast, you heard me months ago saying, I've started following football again because my team has been doing well. And it's okay that I'm a hypocrite because sometimes you're a hypocrite. But then like a week after that, I talked about how bad it was that my good quarterback Carson Wentz got very, very hurt. And he got very, very hurt, and I thought it was the end of the season, but Nick Foles came in and did a good job. And
No, Nick Foles came in and sucked for three games.
He did suck. He had to find his footing.
He had to learn. Let the sports guy talk. Patrick's the sports guy.
Listen, he was bad.
He was bad,
Austin.
He was bad. But then what we learned is he's just good in the playoffs, and he's, like, incredibly good in the playoffs. So his postseason numbers are incredible, and he carried us all the way there. We beat Tom Brady. The beast is felled.
Fuck Tom Brady.
Oh.
Fuck Tom
We're
Brady.
We're going to get
Tom
email. Brady. Last time I said that on a podcast,
Don't worry.
We're going to get some emails.
Hey Patriots fans, eat shit.
Oh, my God.
Eat shit.
I'm
going to
get some good emails from my countrymen.
The fellow Bostonians.
My countrymen are very upset right now. They're eating a lot of sad Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep. They've had five of these in 18 years or something.
Yeah.
pass it around. Let people, you know.
Tom Brady, sit down. That's all.
That's
sit
all.
Down. Like,
sit down and sit. And throw your fucking MAGA hat
out. Sit down
out.
With your fucking MAGA hat.
Take a shit in that first, then eat it.
Whoa.
Then throw it
no,
out.
No, no, no. Hey. The
oh,
only
my God.
The only shit eating is happening in Philadelphia.
I saw.
Okay. I want to make sure.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Do I want to know about I didn't
It's so
see
much
it.
Worse than you even think
it's
it is.
It's just literally what you think it is, too. There's that's like a bunch all
of,
it is.
There's a bunch of people sitting around in a circle being like, eat it, eat it, eat it. And a guy, like, kneels down on the ground and just eats horseshit.
Eats the poop.
Like Napoleon Dynamite.
But just does it for real.
Yeah, he just does
oh,
it.
Oh, wait, that wasn't Napoleon Dynamite. That was another movie with Will Ferrell that I'm thinking of. Anyway,
old
speaking
school?
Of movies.
Maybe it was old school.
Yeah.
What? Speaking
of
movies.
I haven't watched Cloverfield yet.
Oh, Cloverfield was announced. Patrick, are you feeling mad or sad that you haven't gotten to it yet?
No, well, that would require me throwing my wife under the bus. So I'm going to say my wife made a bunch of wonderful food for the Super Bowl yesterday, and I'm excited to watch Cloverfield tonight.
I have a piece on that. It's cooking.
It's cooking?
Actually fully cooked. It's like scheduled for tomorrow.
But Patrick's
morning.
Not allowed to look at it.
I'm
for
not.
Spoilers.
He's not allowed to look at it.
Good.
Because spoilers. Reasons and spoilers. Yes.
I didn't watch anything about the Super Bowl. All I saw was that kid, the picture of the kid with the phone.
Who's the kid?
And I saw a bunch of stuff happening with Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake's fashion game was way off.
It was way off point.
He was – there are so many good jokes. I'm not even going to dig into them. Just go on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
He had like a full camo like – suit and suit on.
He's from the Woods.
Suit
now.
And tie, like from...
no tie, because his shirt was a button-up
I know,
shirt.
I know,
with like an elk or a moose or a deer on it.
Okay,
it's like screen printed on a button-up like dress shirt. And he came out with like a black leather jacket with like frills. And then halfway through, he's like, "I gotta class this up."
It's
and
like
he took
mix...
that off and put on the camo
the
like
big
tweed
Buck
suit.
Hunter outfit.
Yes,
yes.
You know how Migos was like going for like the Revenant in their T-shirt video. This is like Justin like taking it one step further.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's like I said on Twitter, like absolutely auditioning to be a Far Cry 5 mid game boss. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's been mostly video games around these parts. Besides sports, I know we're a big sports podcast normally, but.
Well, I don't care about sports, so.
We're a big sport. Thanks you
Please
for committing to the
in.
Bit.
Thank you
for committing hard to the satirical bit.
How do you feel about Yaopita?
Oh, the anime?
Yeah!
The Viking anime?
Yes.
I never watched it.
Oh.
I hear it's good.
It's really good.
Did you
see... do an anime thing?
You do an anime thing.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Yeah.
It's good a Viking
job.
Anime.
I'm proud of myself.
Did you see that the actual Olympics had like a Yuri on Ice style
yes,
intro for
yes,
one of the ice skaters?
Good,
that was very
good.
Y'all been playing video games that I am interested about. Should we start in Japan or in, I don't know where Dindara.
Brazil.
Is it Brazil? Oh yeah, Brazil. Totally. It's made by, is Dindara made by?
It is made by Long Hat House, which is a Brazilian team.
Where
I don't know what city, but.
But somewhere in Brazil.
I know they are Brazilian.
It's Dindara. Can you spell it?
Dandara, Dandara, which there's an actual Brazilian connection there as well, just in case you're interested.
I am.
Because Dandara de Palmares was a fighter and liberator of slaves in 17th century Brazil.
Hell
and
yeah.
This game is inspired by her legacy.
So this is like, we're in the middle of like a row of really pretty looking, really difficult looking 2D.
Yeah, Iconoclast isn't really difficult,
okay.
But it has its moments, I think.
Right,
and
right.
Celeste
right.
definitely is difficult, and
yeah.
then Dandara is.
Tadara is also
is,
hard?
Well, I guess I should say this about it, if we're going into Dandara, unless you want to...
Let's start
yeah,
with Dandara.
Okay,
we're in
all
it.
All right, we're in it now.
We're all in
now
Brazil.
Now that I've talked about the real-life person. Okay, so it is a Metroid Souls-like, is what it is.
Okay.
So it is...
2D, again,
2D,
sprite-based.
Pixel art,
okay.
Very, very beautiful, very funky-looking, very colorful. The music is amazing. And the important points here are definitely that is a 2D game where you don't traverse normally. You're actually just sort of bouncing up and bouncing down.
Okay.
You are warping to platforms. You're
so
never
you're like,
walking. You're never running.
You're like drawing a line and then...
Yes.
Do you just...
Or you're sort of aiming yourself and flinging yourself.
Okay.
It's almost like a slingshot kind of motion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're constantly flinging yourself at different sort of areas
it
that you can stick
really
onto.
It looks really like kinetic.
Very. Very, very. Especially once you get the hang of it and you're
right.
sort of flinging yourself around. You're also shooting. And it's a 2D game. It's very Metroid-y in terms of like the moment-to-moment gameplay. You're typically puzzling, exploring, and sort of shooting bad guys in
also,
these massive levels.
You're playing this like lady with a big fro and a dope
that's,
like scarf.
That's Dandara. That's her.
She's dope.
Yeah. She's
that's
amazing.
A good design.
She's very good. She's very good.
She's
yes.
one of my favorite parts of the game. I think she's great. The story is also really wonderful. It's very subtle and it's very like funky and sort of, you know, broad strokes is There is the salt, which is a mystical thing.
We all know what the we all know about the salt.
We all know about the salt.
We got salt at this table right here. it's like this magical force. It's a sort of post-apocalypse, but it's also actually sort of like not really post-apocalypse. Bad things are still happening.
Mid-apocalypse.
Dandara is going to try to save people and liberate people. There's like a whole thing about liberation and occupation going on, which is very cool, but it's in a very like fantasy kind of setting. Like there are like giant people and monsters and aliens and all kinds of stuff. I really like that about it. So in moment-to-moment gameplay, it kind of looks like and feels a lot like a Metroid game with that different movement, with that much quirkier kind of movement. However, the actual progression of the game is 100% souls. So like, whenever you kill an enemy, you get salt, which is souls. That's also how you upgrade yourself, you know, hearts.
What are those upgrades? Is it just like more HP and
more
like more
HP,
damage?
More sort of your healing items will do more each time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There is a, once you unlock sort of after the first major boss, you unlock like special weapons, so you upgrade those. It's much simpler than a Souls game, but the progression kind of works the same.
Are the healing items like SS flasks where you just like get a bunch of them
Every time you go to a campfire.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. So it's literally a campfire. You go to campfires.
Okay, sure.
And then, of course, once you go to a campfire, all the enemies respawn around you.
What are you playing on? Is this...
I'm playing this on the Switch.
Okay,
actually.
Cool.
And I'm playing it with the Pro Controller. There are also touchscreen controls, which I haven't tried yet.
I've never used touchscreen controls
ever.
On the Switch.
Darkest Dungeon had some, but I never fuck with them in any way.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing that happens. There's also an iOS version, so I assume they optimized it for touch as well.
Weird.
So,
okay.
A lot of stuff going on there. I have complicated feelings about this game because I really, really, really love the exploration, the sort of Metroid-y parts of it. But when you get to a boss encounter, it becomes like a pure Souls game. You're just grinding against that boss, grinding against the boss, grinding against the boss. And unlike in Souls, where you kind of, depending on the area you're in, it's a little bit easier to kind of grind a little bit and sort of level up.
Yeah.
This game does not really have that. You can kind of do that, but low-level enemies give you barely anything. So by the time you're, like, once you're a few levels useless. They'll give you like 4 salt, and you need 10,000.
And the only way you get that many is by beating the bosses.
By beating the boss. So there's kind of a running into a wall issue
So you described it as being a Metroidvania, so I have like a couple of things, questions.
Yeah.
One is like, are there multiple paths that you could be going down? So like, is there ever a situation where you're like, ooh, I just shouldn't be fighting this boss right now. I should go find another boss to fight.
Yes and no. I'm at a point right now where there might be another boss to fight.
Okay.
Where I came up against the worst problems was actually the first major boss. And I had no problems with any enemies or any mid-bosses or anything like that. And there are enemies and mid-bosses and stuff. It just – there is a difficulty spike that is like through the roof at sort of the first boss, which sucks a little bit. I'm on another boss now where I'm having the same problem.
Right.
So I am kind of going around and seeing if there's another path. But one of the other paths is so obviously difficult and out of my league that that doesn't seem like a viable option.
Right.
Which is a little which is, it's a little bit disappointing for me as somebody who really, really likes exploring and really loves a good a game with like an interesting world to look at.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of like nooks and crannies and, oh, if I try this ability here or if I try this thing here, it pretty much always rewards that.
Right.
And it's like a really beautiful world.
Have you
really
unlocked more like abilities and stuff like that?
Yeah. It's very simplified. Like, it's, you know, after the first boss, you unlock, like, a very key new ability that allows you to get around further. So it does have that sort of Metroid element to the progression as well. It's so beautiful, and I want to play more, but I am definitely, like, hitting my head against the boss in a way that, like, doesn't feel quite in tune with the rest of the game. It does feel like there's an imbalance here.
This is out this week, right? This is out like tomorrow?
It is out on Tuesday. Yes.
Cool.
It's out tomorrow.
I'm very curious about it. Like, we've had a lot of conversations lately. Like, I know, Patrick, you're actually filing a piece sometime this week on the Celeste difficulty. Is it the Celeste one that you're...
Yeah. So, yeah, Celeste is one of the other sort of like challenging platformers that's out sort of like, you know, this early 2018 period. And The way it doesn't have like a difficulty slider, you know, in some games are an easy, medium, hard or something like that. The way Celeste handles sort of like its shades of difficulty is it kind of puts it in the hand of the player in two different ways. Like, one is that there is like sort of the authored designer, like, here is the path. And then they introduce a couple of variants, which is like the collectibles in the game, the strawberries, are totally optional. The game tells you the strawberries don't unlock anything. Mm-hmm. They're not required for anything. It is just do you want to do some more challenging platforming tasks based on, like, what you've been playing so far? Then cool, like, try and get these strawberries. You can collect something called B-sides, which is opens up a whole second section of levels that are basically like, hey, were these levels too easy? Do you want to get fucked? Well, then, like, play these B-sides. And then on top of that, there are secret. If you complete a B-side, you get a heart. And then at the end of the game, there is an optional sort of challenge section that require hearts in order to unlock.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Those stages, like, you're already fucked by the previous ones, and this one, like, fucks you, like, twice as hard. Like, they're really
a lot.
It's bad. And it really flips the mechanics and, like, stretches them and, like, really, like, just ways that the mainline game does not do. And so there's that part where it's just like, hey, if you want to, if the game's not tough enough for you, like, here are some other things you can engage with to challenge yourself. And, like, that is 100% up my alley. But that slider only goes in one direction, which is in making the game harder.
Right.
And so the designer, Matt Thorson, who I spoke with about this assist mode in the game, which, like, has this, like, really nice, pleasant text associated with it that says, like, hey, this isn't the way the game is meant to be played, but if for some reason that you are having trouble with a section, a particular chapter and the mechanics associated with don't work with your fingers in a way that, like, you are finding frustrating and you still want to see more of the game, you can turn off death. You can turn off, you can add additional dashes so you can get through jumps easier.
Right.
You can turn off the stamina meter. And so you can kind of granularly change. Like, maybe there's a specific aspect of the game that you're having trouble. Like the stamina part of the game is where you're holding on to a ledge, and eventually the game is going to kick you off that ledge. You're not allowed to just, like, sit there for 5 minutes waiting for, like, the exact sequence to line up. But if that's what you want to do, the game says, okay, great, you can turn that on. It doesn't punish you for the achievements. If you want it, you can still get all the achievements, even though you've, like, tweaked the game in a direction that makes it more palatable to what you want to play. And so I talked with Matt about that sort of aspect of the game, and, like, because this question comes up a lot with, like, authorial intent,
yeah,
and, like, what does it mean to, like, you know, undermine a game, even though we never had this conversation during, like, the era of cheat codes in video games when, like, nobody thought it was, like, a big deal if you undermined what was, quote-unquote, the correct way to play the
totally
game. And it's interesting because the way Matt pitches it, he's like, yeah, like, this breaks the game. This is not how I want people to play the game. But he said that after Cuphead came out, and he saw a lot of conversations around that game where people had different reasons they wanted to play that game. A lot of people wanted to play Cuphead because of the art.
Right.
And the shooting part was, like, fine, but not necessarily the reason they were there. They just really, really wanted to see, like, the sprawling, like, incredible animation that had been put into this game. And to him, he said, well, okay, like, that's a totally legitimate reason to want to play the game, and it would suck if you can't play the game. And while Cuphead did have something called a simple mode, the simple mode removed mechanics from the game,
yeah,
and sections of, like, levels from the game. So, like, that didn't solve the problem. You just couldn't see the game if you were, and so it felt like you were being punished for the very reason you're trying to play it in the first place. So, you know, he it's there as a way of trying to give players more options, and I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a piece that go up this week that kind of, like, him talking about as a designer having to let go of the concept of authorial intent and presenting a version of the game that is, here's how I want you to experience it, but if you'd like to take it from there and go do something else, like, hey, that's, like, on you, like, go have
right.
fun.
Right. I think it's interesting. We've come back to this topic so many times over the last couple of months between now Celeste and its mode. We've talked about Way of the Passive Fist,
yeah,
which is similar in that there's,
yeah,
lots of variables that you can adjust in different ways. You're like, oh, this is how I want the enemy attack timing to be. This is how many enemies I want to have on screen at once. To, you know, even talking about you just read about Thimbleweed Park last week and its casual mode, which is much simpler. That's not like a bunch
yeah
of variables that you're tinkering around with. But we should take a quick break. We will be right back.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
this notion of accessibility, or you know, accessibility is a tough word because as someone who writes about video games, I want to reserve it to some degree for what we mean by accessible, being about controls and color blindness and like, you know, kind of disability,
more like physical
disability, stuff like that. But I do think that there is this other sense of accessibility that we also talk about, which is like, hey, what if this is a game? What if I'm 50 and I haven't played a game since Donkey Kong? What if I'm 7 and I'm just getting into games? Mm-hmm. What if I'm just not very good at games? What if I'm 22 and also I've just never gotten good with games? And that type of accessibility, that other type of accessibility, if it even is another type, because I'm not like firm on that necessarily. I think that having those conversations more and more has been really fascinating because there is such a complex intersection between authorial intent and like our desire to, as fans of things, engage with a work the way that we think that the author wanted us to engage with it. But also as like compassionate individuals and also individuals who often have trouble with things and have a limited amount of time, like to be able to adjust a game to fit our needs is like a totally viable and acceptable desire to have, I feel like.
I will always appreciate that. Yeah. As somebody who just sucks at games. Like, it's fine.
Same.
I suck. It's fine. Like, right. I know I'm good at other things in life, but
Here's a question.
Yeah.
So, Danica, because I think this ties into Monster Hunter.
Yes, 100%.
Like, in an interesting way.
Yes.
Because, Danica, I was, because of the way you've talked about, like, the kinds of games you play, like, the way you play games, like, when you were asking if you should get into Monster Hunter, like, my initial impulse was to say, like, I was afraid that wasn't going to be a game for you, and yet you have seemed to have gotten into it and you're enjoying it. So as someone that like considers themselves not good at games, and Monster Hunter, which is not a game that at any point says like, hey, we're going to ease the gas so that you can like figure it out. Like, how are you finding that game, and like how is that comparing relative to how you normally encounter games that like literally beat you over the head with trying to understand how they work?
Well, I think your advice to me was, if you have people to play with, then I think it's a good idea. And I have had I've been playing with a person like the whole time since the start, so that's been like a huge help. I think I killed
Weren't you fighting an Anjanath?
I was not fighting it by myself. I think I fought a giant Gyros by myself, and that's like the only thing that I've fought by myself.
The snakeish black lizard thing.
And that's
scary as shit.
And the thing is I had a really hard time. The other person that I'm playing with is playing with a ranged weapon.
Cool. What are you playing with?
I'm playing the Switch Axe.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Which is like super,
Switch Axe
super
crew.
Fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah. And I think it's just like, I tried out with Monster Hunter, I think a lot of the weapons that I was trying out, I was having a really hard time with. And early on, I was complaining about the game. Like, every single time that I played it. There were different things that I was just having a hard time with, and I was getting really frustrated. And then once I got a hang of the Switch Axe and now can kick some serious ass with it, it's gotten to be way more fun. And now I know how to, like, pick up bombs before I go out, so
right.
I can, like,
set
you know,
them up and, like...
Yeah, so we can, like, put the monster to sleep, and then I can set them up, and we can, like, blow a Diablo's horn off or
see, that's,
something
like,
else.
So interesting to me because... Like, Patrick and I haven't fucked with that stuff at all, or very limitedly. Like, we're just now dipping our toes into the notion of, like, setting up bombs and stuff, which is not... So this is the thing with Monster Hunter that's interesting is it does have a low rank mode that you go through before you get to the high rank harder enemies, but it's not like it has difficulty options. You can't say like, oh, can you just give me some extra armor or something?
Everything's the same.
But there are so many ways in which, and the thing is, the game does a bad job of communicating this to you. But there are ways in which you can invest time or make choices to make the combat easier by bringing traps, by doing all that.
And I've also been just being normally in games with like with item boxes that you have to keep organized and armor and weapons that you have to craft. It's just not – that stuff isn't really for me.
Right.
But with this game, I've just been spending a lot of like extra time and care with – like, for example, when I fought the Anjanath, learning that the Anjanath was – resistant to fire, and so I switched my Switch Axe to like the water one, and so my elemental damage was water, and that was doing more
it's
damage
like
to him.
It's like so wild that this game has gotten us to care about elemental shit.
Right? I have never. I tried to play.
Show me the spreadsheet.
I know Patrick's all into spreadsheets.
Yeah,
tried to play. Was it 3? The first Monster Hunter that came out on 3DS. I tried to play that one.
I honestly don't know the number, but what that one?
And I'm friends with a person who. is absolutely obsessed with the franchise, puts like, you know, 80 to 100 hours into each game. And I've tried in the past to get into it and I just haven't been able to. But playing Monster Hunter World has just been a completely different experience, yeah. I think. And I think mainly because at first I was having some trouble with the multiplayer. You know, you have to like, especially in the story, you have to like hit a cutscene and then go back to camp or fire an SOS. And sometimes the SOS doesn't reach the person that you're partnered up with or whatever. But once I got the hang of that, then it was just like much better experience.
It's wild too because there are certain choices I wish it was better at letting you know you had. So like, so a friend of mine, Jack DeKeet, freelancer for Waypoint, messaged me the other day and was like, he was like, "Hey, I have a Monster Hunter question. I just killed a Baroth for the first time and I've been finding the fights kind of tedious. I like all the systems and the machinery of the game, but when it comes to fighting a thing, it feels like 15 minutes of just hitting it repeatedly and then it dies at some point. And my first question was, what weapon are you using?" Patrick, do you want to guess which weapon he was using?
Oh my God, he's using those goddamn
dual blades. And what I said was, Patrick had this. I said, which weapon are you using? He says, dual blades. I go, that is literally the problem Patrick had. Dual blades is very simple, but it's very good for learning things that aren't combat. I almost wish dual blades had a thing next to it that was like, hey, if what you want to learn about is like the structure of the game, going out on a hunt, coming back and dealing with crafting, dealing with all of the like the stuff around the edges, bounties, investigations, and like, don't worry about the combat. You're going to show up to the combat, you're going to hit a thing for 15 minutes and it's going to die. Don't worry about it. There's not going to be complexity there. And then it would give you a pop-up that's like, hey, you got the hang of the bounties. You got the hang of the investigations. Maybe try out a different thing. So do you know what I told him to do is I told him try out hammer.
Hell yeah. And so then, hammer bros.
Exactly. This morning he messaged me back and he just said, oh, wow. The hammer is a lot of fun. And then he linked me to he posted an image from the GameFAQs forum thread for hammer users. And there's just an amazing exchange from people who use the hammer here. I'm just going to read it here. GameFAQs user Toxor says, when using hammer, use the Big Bang attack on the head to deal a lot of damage. Then Saru of Acheron says, follow the ABC rule with a hammer. Always be charging. And then Guillermo55 says, use the level 2 charge on the hammer to uppercut the head when the monster fall down. You bonk him real hard with the circle button thing.
Whoa.
Like, yo, hammer seems good.
Honestly, hammer seems good. I think like the enjoyment in Monster Hunter comes from finding that perfect weapon that you are like going to really enjoy, because even like our friends who we've been working on getting into the game, and a few of our friends have bought the game because of us, like even Casey was having like a really Casey was like, what do I do to like feel better about this stuff, you know?
Yeah, but then Casey woke up this morning and was like, I'm committed to a bow for life.
I know.
I like that a lot about this game, and I think it does fit into the accessibility conversation in an interesting way, because it complicates the accessibility question for me. I mean, I think on one level, it's clear that they could be doing a much better job of having a better on-ramp, of onboarding new players more easily, and of anticipating the needs of players who've never played the series before or who need certain accessibility options, 100%. But also, and this is like such a weird thing with this, is the fact that it's taken me this long is so much part of the joy. There was a Kotaku does the highlight reels every week, and last week one of the best ones in the highlight reel, shout-outs to Chris Person, was someone cutting the tail of a Rathian off with a bow from like 50 yards away.
Was it the tail? For some reason, I thought that was the...
He said it was the head. Oh. I think because he's not playing that game. You can't fucking decapitate a dragon in this game.
Yeah, right.
I was like, yo,
it was
what?
The tail. It was the tail. Okay.
I watched very closely. Yes. I watched frame by frame. Yes. That was a tail. Yes. It's a very head-like tail.
Austin's on the case.
I'm on the case, exactly. Yes. Austin Walker, private eye. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it was an incredible shot. And the thing that makes it so great is unlike something like Destiny. Destiny is like, I like Destiny. I put a lot of time into Destiny. But progress in Destiny looks like getting a better gun. Progress in Monster Hunter looks like shooting a fucking tail off a dragon at 50 yards while it does a flip in the air.
Yes.
And so seeing that, I could sense, and like, Danielle, I imagine this is how watching MMA is for you. I can sense the hours put into learning that weapon and figuring out the timing and like becoming, I mean, also luck is luck. Like, you shoot a tail off a dragon, give some of that up, you know, but like, I could sense the time and energy put into it, because so much of the joy of this game is that it is not very kind to me and that I've had to like really climb this mountain. And I think that there's something facile in me saying like, oh, just find the happy medium where you both get the game that takes you 50 hours to really learn and also make it easy to get on board. And like, I stand by it, but also I recognize that there is sort of a fence sitting there that I wish I was – I wish I was less comfortable doing that fence sitting, if that makes sense.
I will say
– Well, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment on one thing about the game that I like really, really dislike and that I learned just the other day when I finished the final low-rank part of the story, the final like Zora-Magdaros fight, that those like weird – big story mode, like you're fighting Zora fight.
They're so bad.
You can just not do anything, and it will bump you eventually to the cutscene. That's like, there, we did it. We did it, gang.
Wow.
It's a team operation. The other hunters are there, too. Shout outs to the 5th Expeditionary Fleet.
Yeah, shout outs to Fiverr Bro or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Amazing that they're called that every time. So Danielle, they're like split up into different fleets, so it's like, you know, first officer, second whatever. And the fifths, the people from the 5th Expeditionary Fleet are not called fifth whatever. They're called fivers.
Oh, no.
So it's like, yeah, Fiverr Bro.
There's a Fiverr Bro.
Oh, boy.
And all he wants to do is eat. But anyway, that
yeah, tell me about
endures
it.
We trust. Yeah. I mean, you know.
That part pissed me. Once I found out that, like, I didn't actually need to, like, get so confused about where I was going and what I needed to be doing, and I could have just stood there the whole time, I was pissed.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I wish those missions were better, because they have the opportunity, like, it's cool to fight a giant, like, island-sized monster.
Yeah.
But it sucks. And, like, it's not actually good. Like, it's one of those
but
things,
also,
like, on paper.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter. You don't have to do anything.
Don't worry. You can, once you get a little bit further in, you can grind that mission. It's like every three missions you complete, it says, like, oh, yeah, you go fight Zora-Magdaros again.
Oh, boy.
Just to grind out those parts.
Does it change, like, I don't know. It's wearing a hat this
time. No hats. I fucking wish. Could you imagine?
You got a fedora on that thing. Like,
oh, my God. If you went in and just had, like, a big straw hat on, it was like.
That'd be good.
Oh, my God. Then I'd feel just as bad about. I've been capturing, like, pretty much everything now because I'm just like, oh, this guy's running away from me. Like, I would feel bad for Zora if he was wearing a hat.
Yeah,
that's fair. I
especially a straw hat, you know.
Yeah, I think like he's just
with
like
a toothpick in
oh
his
my
mouth.
God, or like a piece of straw.
He's just trying to live his life.
Like a banjo. Burn-a-no. Yeah, uh-huh.
Burn-a-no.
That's how Zora plays the banjo.
That happens when a fiver attacks a nice dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, whoever paid that fiver.
That's what happens when the Fiverr Bro gets hungry.
Fiverr Bro gets hungry. He takes on the Zora-Magdaros. He don't fuck around. I feel like that game is good. And also, one of the. Did you get this cutscene after that fight, after that second Zora-Magdaros fight, where they're like, we can all go home?
Yes.
Or, wink. We don't have to go fucking anywhere. We live here now.
No,
and it's
know,
like,
I know.
Y'all.
I know.
Come on.
Oh.
It's bad. It's rough.
Some of the story elements are the thing about like the Rotten Veil and all of that, like I was actually kind of interested in. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of like a cool part. And like the reason that Zora needs to be driven away, that's like that's cool. But the way that they go
I'm still not sure it's cool. Because like their whole thinking was, all right, so I'm going to spoil very minor fucking Monster Hunter thing, which is like...
I was going to say it's Monster Hunter.
Zora-Magdaros is a big dragon. Yeah. It's going to come die at this place.
Yeah.
And
at
when it does, bad things are going to happen. And
oh,
like,
oh, oh, yeah,
and so
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah,
we
yeah.
can't let it do that. We're not done here yet. And like...
Oh, is that what it is?
It's like, it's going to go bad for the whole environment. Like, everybody's going to get fucked up because of the way it's going to die.
Right.
But like... There is this weird line drawing about like what is what nature is allowed to be nature and what nature you need to interfere with.
Right.
And they don't ever give you the argument that's like, well, sometimes we have to make the case. Sometimes we have to decide when to step in to defend nature from nature. They never even try to do that,
no,
really.
They don't.
They
no,
just
they
go
don't.
Like, well, if it destroys everything, like our whole outpost will be destroyed. Like, yeah, who cares, dog? Like, sometimes an old dragon gotta die.
Your stack of books is gonna be destroyed.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, boy.
I get it. You want to learn about the fucking paratoad or whatever. But anyway,
but I
like
Monster Hunter. I did get a little bit emotional when, like, they were standing up in the Rotten Vale and, like, they're like, oh, it's raining life. Like, that line
you fucked you up.
No, not really. I laughed at it. But, like, that whole message was, like, good, you know?
It's a good message. Yeah, life from death. Danielle, we got to get you to at least try this game a little bit more.
Okay.
I want you to
sit in here on a Monday and just like watch
these.
We should just do like a show off all the weapons and have you figure out which one you like.
Okay,
yeah.
I can definitely judge some weapons.
You can have pets in your room.
See,
and
that's exciting.
You can pet
oh god,
them.
You can pet them.
That's really
them
exciting.
And there's a pig
Poogie.
That runs around in the. Little
I know the
shop.
Pig.
Yeah.
Poogie.
Yeah.
Poogie.
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 It's a Poogie. Mine is named Poogle because I misread it and I decided that one's name is Poogle.
Okay,
I see. That's fair. I know a friend of the show, Amanda Cosmos, named her Palico after my calico.
Aww.
Koga.
Aww. Mine's name is Bridesmaid, and my hunter's name is Happily Married.
Good.
Calico.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait,
it's
wait,
your
wait,
Palico,
wait.
Calico.
Oh.
Yep. Oh, we're having a moment.
I hadn't.
I can't believe this.
I is my pal, Ico.
You love cats.
I do. I don't know shit about cats.
Cats are your pals.
I love cats.
Yeah.
But you just didn't realize that.
I 100% had no idea why it was called a calico.
Okay. All right. Well.
I go, why are you called a human? Like, I don't fucking care.
Is there like a reason? Is that like two words put together?
Human.
Yeah. It's like a huge man.
Oh, boy.
That's why we're all called. Just ask Nick Foles.
Hey, I want to quickly on the accessibility thing. So although we've conflated that term a couple of times while talking about this game, I was reading this story from a fan of Monster Hunter who
phantom
is disabled. A fan of Monster Hunter who is disabled, and he actually like praised Monster Hunter World as being like, a deeply accessible
awesome.
Game in that exact sense, where like even like controls like clicking the sticks, which do you know specific tasks like running and things like that, are like remappable
right.
or have alternative functions.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There were he was specifically calling out that like he can't use like every weapon because certain ones just don't work with you know his particular circumstance, but that he was able to find such as the hammer, a good all around weapon that more people should use in that game. That he was able to play it and is getting really
awesome.
Into it. So like I just wanted to at least tip a hat to the game that using when we use the term accessible, it also seems like it is accessible in that respect
very,
as well.
Very cool.
Nice. Sorry, I'm over here. I was about to fall into a real bad trap of looking into the word human, but I wound up on a site called Truth Seekers,
okay.
and I'm just going to close this. I don't need to see.
You don't seek the truth?
No, this thing has shit like the True Bible at the very top.
Oh,
I'm just going to close
no.
this.
Oh, no.
And just if you know what the word human means, you write us in, like what the
oh,
etymology
God.
Is. I'm very curious.
I mean, we know it means huge man, but if you could
but
expand
if you have a second,
on that a little
yeah,
bit
yeah, if you could make that even huger,
us,
that would
yeah.
be great.
Cool.
What else are people playing? Speaking of huge men.
I'm playing Yakuza 6.
Speaking
yeah.
of huge men. Is there anyone bigger than Kiryu?
No one bigger. Especially Kiryu is like a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
There's just no one bigger than
he
that.
He just gets bigger with each ear he puts on.
His ass Whoa. Is huge in this game.
Whoa!
I'm sorry, but he's wearing like tight white pants. Like, I'm sorry. Whatever.
Tell me about Yakuza. You were allowed to talk about Yakuza 6.
I can talk about Yakuza 6. So I just started it. I played up through. I told myself I was going to wait because I'm going to. Yeah, I'm going to start streaming Yakuza 2 through 5 starting
Sick.
This week. And I wanted to get that done before Yakuza 6. And now that the game got pushed back a month, I actually can.
That's just like someone's about to give you a mansion. You're like, I got to build 5 houses first. I got to build 5 progressively bigger houses.
I want to play them in order because
I get it.
When I started playing Yakuza 6, obviously I was spoiled on some stuff from the previous games, which isn't a big deal to me because I don't really care that much about spoilers. But... Yakuza does have, like, a website where you can, like, read comics and, like, get up to date on the story.
Sure.
I just
nice.
Didn't do that. But Yakuza 6, of what I'm playing of it so far, I think they're still working on the game, so I'm, like, playing, like, a demo version.
Yeah, like a preview build or whatever.
Yeah. And it is just, like, the same Yakuza, but they've improved, like, so much stuff as far as the controls
Can you, like,
go.
Talk about the very basic setup? You're playing as Kiryu
You're
in the first chapter?
Kiryu, okay. Yeah, and spoilers for Yakuza incoming, so go feel free to just turn that stop listening.
Early Yakuza 6.
Early Yakuza 6. Yeah, I'm only done with chapter 1. But basically in Yakuza 5, at the end of Yakuza 5, something happened. Kiryu goes to jail again.
Yo.
Kiryu loves to be in jail. I guess he's always fucking locked up. He's locked up and Haruka, his former, the woman he was in love with, her daughter, who he is now caring for.
Right.
Is
He's not in love with Haruka, to be
yeah,
clear.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
She's watching over the orphanage that Kiryu opened up, and partway through his, like, jail sentence, she's like, oh, I need to leave because I need to, like, support him and whatever. And she, like, leaves the orphanage. And
in someone else's hands?
No,
or just...
she just leaves.
What?
I think
all
she's
the babies
like...
die?
I think she's like six. I don't. She's a teenager at this point. Okay. She's like quit being an idol so she could support her like Yakuza dad, basically. Oh, wow.
Fucking real right there. That's that real shit.
That is real. And so she leaves and Kiryu gets back from jail and he's like looking for her and something has happened to her. She's in the hospital and then you're introduced to like some. Right now, we just got introduced to a baby who we believe is Haruka's.
Okay, so you're basically just like catching up with Kiryu's life. There has not been like the big
in
hook.
This, and the wild, wild thing about this game is like, so far, usually the first chapter of a Yakuza game, it's like, what evil like plot line, what scary man is like coming
right.
to Kiryu?
And what in this, coward, like, what explosives, what money has gone missing or whatever.
Yeah, in six, it's just like, oh yeah, Kiryu is like a basically a dad and like he gets home to the orphanage and all the kids come running up to him and he's like you've all gotten so big and like he gives a baby a bottle and I'm like damn. Wish you were my dad. No, I love my dad but like also I wish Kiryu was my dad.
You can have two dads.
Yeah,
that's
right,
true.
Right? A family
that's
can
true.
Be one dad and one video game dad.
Dad, that's yes,
right.
Yes.
That's right.
But they've tons of the controls are improved. Like you move around like much smoother. You can like
You're coming right from
I'm
Kiwami.
I'm coming from Kiwami, yeah.
Right,
so
you played
so
through
Zero.
Zero
and Kiwami.
Right,
yeah. You could click through dialogue faster. Like, everything looks better. Everything feels better. Not faster, but smoother. Like, you can.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. I can ignore this story. Give me more dad butt.
They added a lot of stuff. They added a lot of stuff that I think is going to, like, really appeal to Yakuza fans. That's just, like, goofy, like, the when you're learning to fight, instead of some, like, annoying menu popping up that you have to click through, you get a text message.
Oh, cool.
And, like, the tips line is texting you, and you can respond to it with, like,
yeah,
stickers.
You
and
showed me, like, a phone interface that looked incredible.
Yeah, it's like a little cell phone, and the menu is a cell phone, and yeah, I haven't gotten that far, but I've already gotten into some fights, and I think I play on easy because, like, I play on easy on all of the Yakuza games because I suck at games. And the fights have been more challenging than in previous games so far, but I'm excited for it.
Nice.
I'm going to play through chapter 4, which is where, like, the preview ends, and
then you're going
to. And then I'm going
to
go back.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not going to commit to this one right now.
No, no, no. I'm going to try
I'm
not
curious.
To.
That's
I'm
the thing. Is that you're in chapter 4. You're going to be like, I got to know what happens with whatever bullshit is happening in this Yakuza
with
game.
Oh, my God. And then there's a part before Kiryu goes to jail where he was in the hospital. And there's this scene where Majima's just, like, standing in the hallway, like, waiting for him. And the cops come up and they're like, is Kiryu in here? And Majima's like, what do you want with Kiryu-chan? And I'm excited for more Majima.
Are they in love?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's complicated.
It's
like
complicated.
I think that Kiryu and Nishiki were in love and Nishiki is no longer part of the game and I wish that he was because I really believe that they were in love.
You're deeply.
Deeply, yeah.
I want to say I think Kiryu has a lot of love in his life, all
That's
said.
Good.
Oh, 100%.
And so I think Majima fits into that picture. And I just
Kiryu
I want to know
absolute like Kiryu is like the poly yeah. The poly yeah. dad who is everyone's husband, who is like doesn't really know anything about sex, but like,
yeah,
he'll
Stumbles
you know take
through.
A girl out and like he'll do his best, you know.
He does his best.
He
I
does
think
his
that
best,
that's
and everybody loves him for good reason.
That's lovely.
When is that out? That just got delayed, right?
It
that actually
to like April 15th. Its original that's release date was March 20th.
Okay,
And it got pushed back almost a month.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. I checked and it gave me the Japanese release, and that's not really what I want. And there's but there is a demo coming out soon. They just announced
the
that there's also
out February 25th or February 20th.
That
one
sounds
of those
right.
Days.
One at the end of February,
and then
launching March 20th.
No, March 20th was the original. They pushed
it
back to April.
Oh, right. You're right. April 17th.
Yeah. So you'll be able to like port your demo into the.
Oh, that's
final
sick.
Game.
That's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. I love
yeah,
it when a demo
like,
does that.
The games I think already played like so smoothly, Zero and Kiwami, and they were so fun. And I love the combat, and I love everything. But six feels like an improvement, which I was very surprised about because nice. I'm like, how could you improve like how these games feel? But they did. And there's a cat cafe in six.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
You can run a cat cafe.
Oh,
yeah.
Word?
Yes.
That's so exciting. Yes.
That would be all I would do.
Maybe I could finally learn more about cats, which I love. Great.
All your palicos in one
all
place.
Of them. All of them. All right. Let's go to the question
to
bucket.
The question bucket.
What was that? You
looked at the clock.
You looking at I know. I have a clock right here. I can see the clock.
That's
I wanna
fine. I'm not looking at your computer.
God damn. Clocks. Go to the question bucket. If you have a question, you can send it to gaming@vice.com. Use the subject question. Okay. What's happening?
Someone just peeked in through the blinds,
yeah, which is a weird
it was
thing.
A very small face.
I hope it was whoever wrote this question. Who's like, are they going to answer my question or not? This one comes in. If you have a question, gaming@vice.com, use the subject question. We'll see it, and maybe we'll pull it from the bucket and use it. This one comes in from Adam from Washington, the state, who says, hi, Waypoint. Since you all get a lot of heavy questions, I wanted to ask something more lighthearted. Are there any genres you'd like to see brought together? This could be just game genre like racing and character action or something outside of games like Latin American magical realism and computer RPGs. Personally, I'd like to see a unity of Souls and Shock because apparently I'm a walking stereotype. And the combination of Fargo-style hijinks, see Fiasco or Sub Rosa, and this kind of emergent storytelling, particularly the kind you see in Dwarf Fortress and a lot of grand strategy games. That's a lot of things to combine at once. What about you, Waypoint? What's your dream, like, meets?
I like how Danielle's playing, like, a Metroidvania meets Souls.
Yep. Yeah, like, right
yep,
now.
I sure am.
And that's not the dream. Maybe. Maybe not the dream.
Parts of it are definitely the dream. Parts of it are the nightmare, so you know we got a little bit of both right there.
Shout out to Meek Mill. Continue. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Dreams of Night
for
intro.
Doing that. That
keep going.
Appreciable. I really would love, because I'm a big old dork, I really would love things that take, like, favorite things that I enjoy in one type of media and, like, making a really good game based off of it. I want a open world / dating sim Ooh. Game based in the world of Lost Girl, which is a trashy as hell, like, sci-fi original series about a bisexual succubus who needs to have sex with men and women to live.
Okay.
That's the game I want.
I mean, if that ain't relatable.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's out there. I bet some fans could point you in some direction.
Yeah.
I bet.
Please, if I'm not saying it's relatable, someone's going to say it's relatable.
It's relatable.
That's very relatable. Might as well lead with whatever.
I got you. What's yours then, Danica?
I don't know. It would have to be some, like, open world adventure game mixed with some, like, I don't know, like, platforming?
Yeah, that's a good
open
idea.
Open world platforming. Like that sounds good.
Bring my like.
I thought your answer was just going to be like Yakuza 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Also
good one. Kiwami. Actually, can we get Kiwami 2, 3, 4?
Like
first?
In one game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can actually
yes.
catch
yeah.
up. That's good.
Dating sim with just Kiryu and Majima.
Yeah, that sounds good as hell, honestly.
The options are limited, but there's a lot of depth.
Yeah. See, I kind of want to go at this like the other way, which is like I want games that are like pull away parts of the genre to reveal some other genre inside of it. So like, you think of like GTA, which is like, oh, it's open world and it has like a billion things.
Yeah.
I want like GTA, but like all you do is deliver pizzas and like just build a game around that pizza delivery guy's life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need
gun?
To shoot anybody.
Like,
he doesn't need to have a gun. There could be a gun in there. Okay, here's
He's
my idea.
Shaking
I've had,
up some
I've
soda
this...
really hard and that's like a gun. That's
no,
close
I want that game to have a gun in it. I said this for Watch Dogs. I think Watch Dogs would have been like a really good game if halfway through someone gave you a gun and they were like, all right. And like, yo, I've never killed anybody before in my fucking life. And like, have that be a plot thing. So yes, I think Pizza Delivery Sim 2018 at like hour 6, your boy shows up and he's like, yo,
but
what they
no
did
reason,
to Horatio is terrible.
Oh, okay, but
take
there,
this piece.
There's still some like dramatic shit going
life
on.
Life is dramatic.
Right, right.
Pizza, have
pizza
you talked
dramatic.
To somebody who delivers pizza?
No, yes.
Okay, but like, think about like the pizza delivery game where like you are meeting people, you're delivering pizzas, you're opening the door, you're getting like a peek into what their life is like. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yo, there's some fucked up shit happening
like
in this house.
Like immersive pizza delivery.
Immersive pizza delivery. Okay. $17.99, please. And then they don't tip you and you're like, yo, okay, I see how it is.
You have to get a tip.
Ron. And you leave.
What about you, Patrick?
Patrick, how about you?
So, I mean, it's a boring answer because I think when we've answered this before, but I refuse to give up the sci-fi from software to the Souls game. That is my go-to. I need to come up with a new answer because that's just always my answer until they answer the question.
Until
they
fucking
the
do the thing. Listen, Patrick, we've got an Eagle Super Bowl this year. We can get a sci-fi Souls game. Mm-hmm. We can do it.
Yeah, why not? We can,
what if
hey,
they go back?
What if at
E3, the teaser that they showed before with the like the weird like fantasy script and like all that
blood bone thing,
and then it just like a fucking mech foot just steps on all that shit and it zooms out. And it's like, yo, there was a fantasy world, and then sci-fi shit invaded it.
Yep.
And their mechs are fighting ninjas. It's a whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I wish people would see Patrick's face.
Yeah,
he's so excited.
He's happy.
Just I'm just going to a place right
now.
Oh,
it's good. It's good. All right. I think that that is going to do it for us today. As always, you can reach us here at Waypoint at twitter.com/Waypoint.
Patrick,
Facebook.com.
Can you make a face?
Oh, my God. Facebook.com/Waypoint Vice to find Patrick's face. Patrick's face will actually just be on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Danica?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/DanicaHarrod.
Danielle.
I'm at Danielle R.I.
Patrick.
You find me at Fuck Tom Brady and Fuck His Politics.
That's good. Just do a search for that on the internet and see what happens.
Yeah.
see what comes up.
See what you get.
Shout outs to Natalie for handling the boards as we record today. You can follow me. I think I said me. Austin_Walker on Twitter. We will be back all week for some streams. Actually, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this now, we probably already streamed some Yakuza. That'll go up over on our YouTube, youtube.com/WaypointVice. We're going to have more streams all week, twitch.tv/Waypoint. And as always, thank you to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that, waypoint.zone/BOEN. Also, briefly, I want to shout out the fine people in our fan Discord who watched me stress the fuck out about the Eagles game the whole time. I watched it with all of them. They were there for me. They were like 3 minutes ahead of my stream, which meant that like every time something terrible happened, the whole chat was just like, no, this sucks. I hate this. This fucking sucks, which was good for me because it meant that like I could prepare myself. So shout outs to everyone who watched the Super Bowl with me last week in our fan Discord. That was very
last night.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long night
for me.
Especially in Philly.
And I'm in Philly in my heart. Hey, Wawa, add a Wawa to New York, please. I know it doesn't make any sense.
Give us a Wawa.
Wawas are great.
What is a Wawa?
Oh my God, Patrick.
They opened up Dunkin' Donuts on the West Coast.
They can open a Wawa in New York. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. Wawa is like a convenience store chain.
It's
in,
like a 7-Eleven,
but like good.
Good, yes.
Yeah, it's like a 7-Eleven, but like with like a really good deli counter and like good like iced tea that is like Wawa brand iced tea. Also, it's called Wawa, and it's like the pig. Their thing is
it's a good name.
And there's like a goose. It's a whole thing. Oh, it's like a very Jersey, like Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware. I think it goes up to Connecticut, maybe, but like no more in New York. And bring one back because I felt like it's a very Philly thing. I wanted to go to a Wawa and like celebrate. There, but I couldn't do that. So I went to my bodega instead, which is also good. Shout out to bodegas, also dope. All right, that's gonna do it for us. I'm gonna stop talking about Philly sports, and we're gonna play some video games.
Okay,
Danielle, what do we say to him?
We should be good and be good at it and fuck Tom Brady. Even if I come from the land of Tom Brady, I still agree with that sentiment.
Also, big dick Nick.
Peace.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.